We were discussing the wedding procedure and just exactly the different parts of the wedding, what goes on. Essentially, the person who requested this topic just said that a lot of people sitting at a wedding have no idea what's going on under the chuppah. Like, what is the process? What is happening while all the rabbis are milling around and people are calling people up? What exactly is going on, and what exactly are the various minhagim and the various halachos, and what's the difference between minhagim and halachos? So we went through the chasen's tish, we went through the procession down the aisle. So I just want to go through some of the issues of a chuppah. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get it done in one 10-minute halacha shir. We may have to split it into two. But let's start with what the chassan is wearing. There is a minhag Yisrael that a chassan wears a kittel under the chuppah. This is the Tshuvas HaRadvaz in Chelek Aleph Sim Tafresh Sadi Gimel quotes this minhag, as well as the Orchos Chaim and Hilchos Kiddushin, and they say that they just say the chassan is to wear white clothing. They don't say anything about the kittel. There are three basic reasons quoted in Yisun Kilchusa as to why it is that a chassan wears a kittel. The Orchos Chaim says that it represents a commitment to refrain from averos. White symbolizes purity from averos. So when he wears white, he's showing that because I'm getting married and I have a wife to help guard me from averos, so now I'm gonna be more committed to avoiding averos. The Sidur Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, says a different reason. Said it's to remind him of the Yom HaMisa, just like the Gemara and Brachos. We find the Gemara and Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph that somebody asked Rav Huna to darshan at a wedding, and he got up and he said a drasha. What was his drasha? Vaylan demisnan. Woe unto us, we're all going to die one day. That was his drasha at the wedding. So apparently he thought it was important to remember the Yom HaMisa at a wedding. So the chassan remembers the Yom HaMisa by wearing what essentially is shrouds, is what he's going to be buried in, la'achar me'a ve'esrim. And that explains the practice that we have. If you ever looked at how the chassan puts on the kittel, he doesn't put it on himself. His parents usually help him out putting on the kittel. They dress him in the kittel rather than him dressing himself in the kittel, because if it's to represent the shrouds that a person wears on the Yom HaMisa, so usually people do not dress themselves in their own burial shrouds, in their own tachrichim. The Radvaz assumes that it's like a kiyum of gilu bera'ada, that when you celebrate, it should be with a certain sense of trepidation, and that's why you want to remember the Yom HaMisa. But the third reason is the Matan Moshe. The Matan Moshe says that the wedding day is like a mini Yom HaKippurim. We discussed that concept a little bit when we spoke about, the minhag to fast on the day of the wedding. So as a mini Yom HaKippurim, you wear white, kishalag yalbinu, right, that our averos should all turn white when we do tshuva, to turn from red to white, white representing again purity. What about wearing a hat under the chuppah? So in yeshivish circle, it's not really a shaila. Of course you can wear a hat under the chuppah, because you wear a hat to everything. I mean, that's the way you dress up. That's the way you look nice and you look fancy, that you wear a hat. So that it wouldn't be an issue. But what about people who don't normally wear a hat? Is there any reason that a person who doesn't normally wear a hat to dafka wear a hat at the chuppah? So if Salvechik thought that a chassan should wear a hat based on chassan doma lemelech, a king has to present himself, the Rambam writes, in a dignified manner, and the Rambam includes wearing a crown in public, that he should always look dignified with his crown. So Salvechik was makbid, that not always makbid, I think, but Rav Shechel, I think, tells a story, he was Masar Kedushin for a grandson of a Talmud Chacham once, what?
Yeah, there's a funny story with my dad, with
Rav Shechel.
I'm putting on a hat.
And he made him put on a hat?
He's like, he goes to my dad right before the
because my dad before the chuppah, he's like, you know, I'm going to be Masar Kedushin for someone who doesn't wear a hat under the chuppah.
Yeah.
And my dad was wearing a hat.
He wouldn't be Masar Kiddushin. Rav Shechter would it?
No, Rav Shechter said that Rav
Salvechik would it. Rav Salvechik would it. Yeah, Rav Shechter tells a story that there was someone who was getting married, and Rav Salvechik made him borrow a hat. He said, grandson of this Talmud Chacham, of someone from Brisk, I forgot who it was, I think it was a grandson of Simcha Zelig maybe, is going to get married without a hat. Made him borrow a hat for the chuppah. But even if you don't actually wear a hat at the chuppah, I think the message is an important message. The message of chassan dom lemelech, of representing yourself, looking in a dignified way. A lot of times, once the shtick comes out during the dancing, the chassan will be, they'll dress him up in all sorts of different things, they'll put on it. That's not for the chassan. Let the friends do that. Let the friends look like morons to be mesameach the chassan. That's part of their kiyum, of being mesameach the chassan. And that's what we find in the Gemara, is everyone else would look like an idiot to be mesameach the chassan. That's great. But the chassan should look like a melech. The chassan should look dignified. I remember I was at a wedding recently, where Rav Shachter came very late to the wedding. He had a shir that night. He told the chassan he's going to try to come, and he came like toward the end of the second dance, and the chassan's shirt was untucked, and he was and Rav Shachter right away, you know, went into the circle dance with him, and he immediately whispered something into the chassan's ear, and he said to him, "Your wife may not be so happy that your shirt is untucked. You should look like a mensch. You should tuck in your shirt." So he tucked in his shirt at that time. But again, a chassan should realize that he's supposed to be he's supposed to look dignified throughout the course of the evening. Hat or no hat, he's supposed to look dignified. There is also a minhag that some have to wear a black coat over the kittel. There's also a minhag that some have to undo any tight ties, like to loosen the tie or loosen undo shoelaces. Rav Shechter said that b'shem the Rav, that this is Darkei Amori, that this is he thought that this was not taken from holy sources, and that one should not do this. A Talmud once asked Rav Salvechik, that is, he said his mother-in-law is very makbid about this, so what should he do? So he said, if your mother-in-law is makbid about it, do it. You know, you don't want to make fights between the in-laws, but just have in mind that there's no meaning to it whatsoever. I mean, have in mind that this has no deeper meaning. When I asked Rav Shechter about wearing a tuxedo for my wedding, someone came over to me right after I got engaged and said, "Are you going to wear a tuxedo at your wedding?" I said, "I think so." My in-law said, "Yes, yeah." So the person said, "Well, you know that Rav Shechter holds its chukas akum to wear a tuxedo, that it's nisr daraisa, you're not allowed to wear a tuxedo, and you're in Rav Shechter's shir, you're Talmud Rav Shechter, so you should just know that." So I went over to him. I said, "Well, I heard Rebbe holds it to nisr daraisa." He goes, "Oh, nisr daraisa, I think that's a little strong." So I knew I was in better shape then. So I said, he said, "I just think it's a little silly to dress up in, you know, in like a costume on the day of your wedding." So I said, "But my in-laws wanted, is that?" He said, "Oh, then for sure, it's certainly not worth fighting about." So Soloveitchik thought these kinds of things also were not worth fighting about, but you know, just have in mind that with the black coat, that's more of a chassidish shemina, again, with the untying the things, that there's absolutely no meaning to it. And if you have the ability to choose not to do it. There is a Gemara Maseches Basud of Samach and Beis that tells us that we put Efer Makle Barosh Chasanim, that on the head of the Chasan we put some ashes. Now that's a fulfillment, the Gemara says, of Imesh Kachech Yerushalayim, and that's why we say Imesh Kachech Yerushalayim under the Chuppah, because under the Chuppah the Chasan, the Taz quotes in the Shulchan Aruch that the Chasan is supposed to say the words Imesh Kachech. In many circles we have the minhag now that someone sings it so that everyone could realize that we're supposed to put Yerushalayim al Rosh Simchasi. However, the Chayyadim Kal Kuf Lamed Zayin writes that in his time the minhag was not to use the Efer Makle, even though it's a Beferish Gemara. Nowadays, I think most people do put the ashes on the Chasan. Most put it directly on the Makom HaTfilin and then brush it off, either right there or in the Yichud room. They then brush it off. They say Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was careful to wrap it in something, not to actually put the ashes directly in the Makom HaTfilin. He'd lift up the Chasan's hat and put it on the Makom HaTfilin in like a bag or something under the Chasan's hat, as a way of being mekayim the Efer Makle Barosh Chasanim, but also being mekayim the Chasan's dignity of not messing him up with dirty ashes. So that's the Sefer Kerem Shlomo quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. There are also different minhagim how to work out the timing of putting on the ashes. The Aruch HaShulchan says to put it on before the chuppah. A lot of people put it on under the chuppah. Usually, my guess is because the way the weddings are run nowadays, the caterer takes care of everything, and they have like ashes waiting for you under the chuppah. So that's where they are. So you sort of got to, unless you go in and run back out to put it on the chasen beforehand. So that is not tonight. We're still using the same one from last time.
Fine. Yeah.
I don't know if I have any extras from Rav Soloveitchik was makbid though to put it on after the brachos, only after all the brachos were said under the chuppah, and that's because Rav Soloveitchik held that a chassan doesn't have a din of a chassan until the brachos were said. He's not a chassan yet, he's just a guy. Once he's married, so for the entire week of Sheva brachos, he is a chassan. There's also a minute to remove jewelry before the chuppah, and there are a lot of reasons offered for this as well. Some say based on the Ramah and Ibn Ezra Simul Amud Aleph to demonstrate that they're not marrying each other for their money. I see you don't have any expensive jewelry on you, and I'm going to marry you anyway. It has nothing to do with the money. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the Masorah Journal as saying that it relates to the Gezerah the Gemara talks about in Masechah Sota, Daf Mem Tes, not to have Ataros Chasanim and Ataros Kalos Bizman Hazeh, not for the Chasan and Kalos to not wear a bejeweled crown Bizman Hazeh. So we don't know what the equivalent, no one wears a bejeweled crown Bizman Hazeh except for like the Queen of England. So we don't know what the what the modern version of that piece of jewelry would be. So we play it safe and we remove all jewelry for the chuppah. Then there is a minhag that when the kala walks down, the chassan goes out first, and then when the kala walks down, she walks around the chassan seven times. So some svardim don't do this minhag at all. In some communities, they do it three times, because it says three times in the Torah, ki yikach ish isha, so they only walk around three times. So most places, most of the weddings I've been at, certainly all the weddings I think I've been at, Sheris Yaakov quotes in Simin Yud Ches, to walk around seven times, keneged the shiva rakiyim, to show that the hanisuin nasu l'shem hashochin berakiyim, to say that we're getting married l'shem shemayim, we're not getting married for any ulterior motives, l'shem shemayim, to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, who's Shochin Berakiyim, who presides over all the seven heavens. So that's the seven times. Now why dafka to walk around the chasan? Why don't you just do something else seven times? So the Siddur Derech HaChaim says, it relates to the Gemara in Yevamah Staf Samach Beis, the Gemara says that a wife is like a wall around her husband, protecting him from Avera. So she's sort of making this imaginary wall around him by walking around him. Now the Matamosha and the Rokeach and the Maril and Maramintz and many others say that once she finishes walking around, the kala is supposed to end up on the right side of the chasen. Rav Shechter, at my wedding, after my wife walked around seven times, she ended up on my left side for some reason, and Rav Shechter came over to her and said, we're still on the ones from last week. So Rav Shechter came over to her and said, normally the minhag is that the kala stands on the right side of the chasen. And we have a great picture of the expression on my wife's face, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just did that. And she jumped over to the other side. My wife was then taking a class in Stern College about life cycles, Jewish life cycles, and the teacher of the class said that the minhag normally is that the kala goes on the right side of the chasen. My wife was still in college when we got married, so this was after we got married. The teacher said, normally on the right side, but Rav Shechter's not makbid, because I was at a wedding once and the kala was on the left side, and Rav Shechter didn't say anything. So my wife said, excuse me, that was not my experience at all. He was, I guess it depends if he felt comfortable saying something about it or not. I think the first wedding I was Masada Kiddush, and I didn't notice the kala ended up on the left side, and Rav Bina came up for a bracha, and he said she should stand on the other side. So he flipped them, and I was like, you're right. I missed that one. I was a little nervous. I think it was my first wedding. Okay, the which way should the chasan and kala face when they're under the chuppah? So there are also various minhagim. The Maram Mintz and Simun Kuf Tes and the Knesset Hagdol and Simun Samach Aleph, both quoted in Nisum Kilchus, say that there's no preference, because they quote a variety of minhagim. Rishach told me, if Salvechik was makbid, they should always face Mizrach, which could be a little funny, because sometimes it's like at an angle, you know, that they're not facing through the crowd, away from the crowd, just facing Mizrach. A lot of people were makbid about this. Rav Huttner, Rabbi Warren Sinneman writes in his Sefer that Rav Huttner insisted that they face the people, that they face the crowd, because if they're facing away from the crowd and the Masada Kiddushin is facing the crowd, it makes it look like the Masada Kiddushin is making them married, is the one that makes the wedding, that declares them man and wife. And that's a Christian thing. We don't do that. We don't declare man and wife. We don't make them married. We don't. It's the Maisa Kiddushin that makes them married. The Masada Kiddushin is there to be Masada, to make sure that everything goes appropriately. But it's not to. So in order to not give the impression that the main person there is the Masada Kiddushin, Rav Huttner insisted that the Masada Kiddushin not be facing the crowd. Chasan Kala should face the crowd. However, there are a lot of people that prefer Chasan Kala prefer facing away from the crowd, because they want it to be a more private moment. They don't want, you know, to be like waving at people and whatever. They just want it to be more of a private moment. All the minhagim are valid minhagim, and you'll find different people doing different minhagim at the wedding. So as I predicted, we did not get through the chuppah. We didn't even get to the kiddushin. So mitzvah Hashem, I guess next time we'll go through the actual kiddushin and nisuin process that happens under the chuppah. Okay.